Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today's reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Text 13. Krimi vid bhasma nishtantam kvedam tucham kalevaram kvatadiyadatir bharya kriyamatmana bhaschadi krimivid bhasma nishtantam kvedam tucham kalevaram kvatadiyadatir bharya kvayamatmana bhaschadi krimivid bhasma nishtantam kvedam tucham kalevaram kvatadiyadatir bharya kvayamatmana bhaschadi. Krimivid bhasma nishtantam kvedam tucham kalevaram kvatadiyadatir bharya kriyamatmana bhaschadi. Krimivid bhasma nishtantam kvedam tucham kalevaram kvatadiyadatir bharya kriyamatmana bhaschadi. Ladies. Krimi vid bhasma nishtantam kvedam tucham kalevaram kvatadiyadatir bharya kriyamatmana bhaschadi. Krimi vid bhasma nishtantam kvedam tucham kalevaram kvatadiyadatir bharya kriyamatmana bhaschadi. Krimivid bhasma nishtantam kvedam tucham kalevaram kvatadiyadatir bharya kriyamatmana bhaschadi. Krimi, insects, germs, vit, stool, basma, ashes, nishta, attachment, antam, at the end, kva, what is, idam, this body, tucham, very insignificant, kalevaram, material tabernacle, kva, what is that, tadiyarati, attraction for the body, attraction for that body, bharya, wife, kva ayam, what is the value of this body? Atma, the supreme soul. Naba chadi, all-pervading light, the sky. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Through proper deliberation, one should give up attraction to his wife's body, because that body will ultimately be transformed into small insects, stool, or ashes. What is the value of this insignificant body? How much greater is the Supreme Being who is all-pervading like the sky? Purport. Here also the same point is stressed. One should give up attachment for his wife, or in other words, for sex life. If one is intelligent, he can think of his wife's body as nothing but a lump of matter that will ultimately be transformed into small insects, stool, or ashes. In different societies, there are different ways of dealing with the human body at the time of the funeral ceremony. In some societies, the body is given to the vultures to be eaten, and therefore the body ultimately turns to vulture stool. Sometimes the body is merely abandoned, and in that case, the body is consumed by small insects. In some societies, the body is immediately burned after death, and thus it becomes ashes. In any case, if one intelligently considers the constitution of the body and the soul beyond it, what is the value of the body? Antavanta ime dehe nityasyokta sarirana. The body may perish at any moment, but the soul is eternal. If one gives up attachment for the body and increases his attachment for the spirit soul, his life is successful. It is merely a matter of deliberation. Through proper deliberation, one should give up attraction to his wife's body, because that body will ultimately be transformed into small insects, stool, or ashes. What is the value of this insignificant body? How much greater is the Supreme Being who is all-pervading like the sky? Om agna timarandasya gnanjana salakaya chakshulan malatam jaina tasmai sri gurave namaha sri chaitanya manobistam stapitam jaina bhutale svaya rupakadamayam dadati sva patandikam panchakopaturubhyascha kripasindubhya eva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai sri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda sri advaita gadadhar srivasati gaur bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So I remember when I first came, April 1971, and moved into the temple, one of the first verses I learned, at least memorized the Sanskrit, Dehi nosmin jata dehe komaram jovanam jura. So now I'm going through all of those. Of course, I'm still trying to learn the very first verse I learned, understand that process. Then later on, not too long after, I became Prabhupada's servant. I was a brahmachari. And after about 6 months as Prabhupada's brahmachari, his secretary at that time started to change. When I first became his servant, Samasundar was his secretary. He was Grahastha. And he left to do some business, some venture. And Prabhupada began having what we called the secretary of the month. It was a nice plan, but it wasn't very efficient because continuity of having a secretary for Prabhupada was important. I also remember Prabhupada said to me that since they would be changing, that I should be responsible for keeping things flowing nicely. I don't think I accomplished. I know I didn't accomplish that. But one of his first secretaries after that was a sannyasi. He was Brahmachari for a short time when he first came early on, and he was a grahastha, and Prabhupada had given him sannyas just 6 months before there in Vrindavan. So anyway, he was about 8 years older than me, 10 years older than me. And he was talking to me outside Prabhupada's quarters. And he started telling me about the difficulty it was in being sannyas, after being married and with a wife, and how he was feeling attachment still. And he said it was very painful. And he was telling me in his chest, it just felt like something had been ripped out of his chest. And, of course, I was very shocked, and I didn't know what to think, didn't know what to say. I was just a young boy. This was this very senior disciple of Prabhupada, sannyasi. But he was feeling a lot of pain. And he was talking to the one person that was around him that he could share with. So then, that very day, Prabhupada was sitting in his room. And this is in Calcutta, just a small sitting room. So then he went into Srila Prabhupada. That was talking to me was just a prelude of what was to come. And in talking to Prabhupada, he told him, he said, Prabhupada, this is so difficult. You know, sannyas, he said, and my wife, he said, I'm attached. And Prabhupada, always very compassionate, very merciful, kind, listening. So he went on and he said, I just think about her. He said, in my mind, I can't get her out of my mind. And Prabhupada looked. He said, just last night, he said, I had a dream about my wife. He said, attachment is so strong. He said, I've not been with her for, at this time, what was this, 1970s? It was some years. He said, but attachment is so strong, he said. But he gave him basic advice. Prabhupada always gave all of us. Which he said, chant your 16 rounds, read my books, keep engaged in service. He didn't give him an alternative that he could do anything else. But he said, the attachment is there. He said, and you just have to apply the process of Krishna consciousness. Whether Prabhupada had a dream or not about his wife the night before, I don't know. Sometimes Prabhupada was very interesting how he would do things and say things. And he may or may not have. We all have dreams, so that's okay. But the point was, of course, attachment. You know, how difficult it is. And until it actually comes before us, you know, we can theoretically think, we're making so much progress, huh? We can be fooled into this consciousness that it's not going to be a difficult thing. But some of us, we have some experience. It is a very difficult thing. And again, I remember sitting, it was right here in Los Angeles, over there where the Vyasa-san was in the other room. And Srila Prabhupada, he would speak to us children. You know, we're literally children. He would be speaking to us, talking about any time. He didn't just say any time he could go. He would say that often. I'm an old man, any time I could leave. But he would also say any time you could die. It was even us. In fact, we talk about old age. Prabhupada said old age means just before you die. So if you die at 10 years old, that's your old age. Old age has already arrived. And it's not a question of living to, you say, the ripe, overripe old age. Old age is there just before death. And sometimes Prabhupada, when he would speak, and I'd be sitting right there and trying to be attentive, and Prabhupada would say, now it's 5 of 8, you know, and 5 seconds. He said, and no matter what you do, he said, you cannot get that back. You cannot buy 1 second. Even now we would say, even your Bill Gates, doesn't matter. You have billions of dollars. That time that's there, that's passed, it's gone. And in my youthful 21-year-old, I sit and think, well, the other part, which was also here, which he was saying, was we're eternal. And I think, well, we're eternal. I mean, it's a loss that time is gone. But time is just there in the material world, and we're eternal. So what is, you know, why is this so Why does he always talk about this? And then it was a long time after, actually. It was about 1996 when I was recording some of my memories. And I was recalling these incidents, Prabhupada saying these things, you know, this time you can't now, 5 of 8, you know, you can't get that back. And then I'd remember myself sitting there in front of Srila Prabhupada, but that was gone, couldn't get it back. How much all of us wanted to see Srila Prabhupada again, you know, just that one more time, one more question, one more pat on the head. One more, in my case, one more massage, cooking for Srila Prabhupada, but it's gone. Nothing you can do is going to get that back. So that's what happens as we're going on through life. These moments, they're all very important, as Prabhupada would say. Every moment is so important because you have the opportunity to make some progress in Krishna consciousness. So then, some months later, we were here in New Dwarka, and I was brahmachari, serving Srila Prabhupada. And as I said, Prabhupada was very knowledgeable. Prabhupada always knew how to deal with me, and he always preached to me indirectly. I would go in his room, he'd say so many different things to me, and I never realized he was advising me. Personally, he was giving me advice. I would think he was just talking. You know, just, I was his audience. It could have been me or it could have been 500. I thought he was just talking like to an audience and he was just speaking. So he would say different things at different times. And again, it wasn't until later on, years and years later, that I thought he was telling me what I should do. But he never sat me down. You know, like maybe temple president nowadays, I don't know. You know, you have advisors and they say, you should take this direction, you should take this direction, or, you know, you're doing this, this isn't good, this isn't good. Prabhupada didn't do that. He didn't do that with me. He didn't tell me what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing in those words, although he did tell me. So one day after massage, the routine here was very, very regulated every day. Massage around 12 o'clock, 11:30 to almost 1 o'clock each day. Then Prabhupada would bathe. And while he bathed, so many things, I would go into the little servants' quarters. That's where he told me to cook. If you go upstairs there in Prabhupada's quarters and go into Prabhupada's room, and as you come back the other way on the right-hand wall, you have the bathroom, and then there's that other door which is locked. And that was the servants' quarters. And it was about an 8x10 room. It still is an 8x10 room. So Prabhupada had put in there, had Kurunder put in, a two-burner gas stove. And there was a gas hookup for heat, I guess, at one time. So the gas was there. The gas line was there. So a little two-burner stove was put there, so I could cook in the servants' quarters. And then I had just a little shelf. It was on two cinder blocks, and all the spices were on there. And so I was cooking like in India. I was just cooking on the floor, and I had a little area to keep things. And so the reason Prabhupada had me cook in the kitchen in the servants' quarters was he didn't want me in the temple kitchen. Those of you that go back, 1970, 1971, Prabhupada lost a servant in the temple kitchen. Not a fire or anything, at least not that kind of fire. He lost a servant because the temple kitchen was filled with brahmacharinis in those days. And the servant, and you would massage Prabhupada. So the whole cooking, massaging took place at the same time. So as soon as you were done massaging Prabhupada, you would run into the kitchen and you would have to prepare his plate, finish cooking, make chapatis. And you were doing all that in only a gamcha, very short gamcha from here to the knees. So Prabhupada recognized that kitchen was a dangerous place, you know, hot fire. Fire was there in the kitchen. So when I first became his servant and we came to Los Angeles, he said, you don't go into the kitchen. I said, yes, Prabhupada. So we set up an arrangement there. So now, about 8 months had gone by, and I'm running back and forth, cooking for Prabhupada here in the servants' quarters. So I went in, I brought Srila Prabhupada his lunch, offered obeisances, put down on his table. Then I'd run back out, make another chapati. This was the process. You'd make one chapati at a time. So you'd go into Prabhupada's room, put down his plate, offer obeisances. You'd run out, go back in the servants' quarters, you'd roll a chapati, cook it up, put it on the plate, little ghee on top, run back in, drop the chapati, slide it onto his plate. And it was just ready, still puffed up. He only brought in puffed up chapatis, no other chapatis. So slide it on and offer obeisances, and you'd hear, poof, Prabhupada, push it down, and start breaking pieces off. You offer obeisances, run back out. So if you're fortunate, you would get to do that 5, 6, sometimes more, Prabhupada would eat. Sometimes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 chapatis. So the more he ate, the more blissful it was for you, because you got to run back and forth and offer obeisances a lot. So one of the times, I came in and slid it down, offered obeisances, and Prabhupada said, being a brahmachari is an austerity. He said, and being a grahasta is an austerity. He said, you just have to decide what austerity you want. And then he just started eating again. So now that was an instruction. These were one of those instructions I didn't understand. He was telling me. And so I went back out. So then the next day comes. Same pattern as there. I'm running back and forth with chapatis. And I was just absorbed in my service. I'm not thinking of anything else at the time, at least at those moments. So one of the times I come in with the chapati and slide it down onto his table, and he said, it was more difficult managing my household than it was managing ISKCON. So now there was, and then that was it. He started eating again. So imagine, it was one sentence one day, one sentence the next day. Now that 24-hour period, he put those two things together, but he was telling me, and he said his household life, he said, was more difficult to manage. Now, I was seeing what it was like managing ISKCON to some degree, dealing with all his disciples and so many different things and problems. But he told me grahasta life, he said, was more difficult. So this was the instruction. So this is... Grahastha ashram is a difficult ashram. It's also necessary for most of us. And the point that's made here, Prabhupada says, the attachment for his wife, or in other words, for sex life. So sex life doesn't just mean the act of sex. It's everything that comes along with it. Huh? When one becomes grahastha, one becomes married. Of course, and sex life is there. Then, as we know, stri, the expansion is there, the wife is there, the children is there, the flat, as we say in England, the flat or the apartment, the house is there, and it just goes on. So these attachments, and sometimes when we're in it, we don't even realize the degree of attachment until these other phases of life come in. The fortunate thing, of course, is being in Krishna consciousness, have the opportunity when chanting Hare Krishna, following the principles, keeping engaged in service. This was also something I always saw with Srila Prabhupada, which was so wonderful, is that he always treated all of us the same, his disciples. He always dealt with us, never looked at the cloth. It didn't matter if one was a brahmachari, one was a grahastha, one was a sannyasi. He dealt with everyone in the same way. He just used us for helping him in his mission. Because it was another 8 months went by, 16 months I was with Prabhupada as a brahmachari. Then here in Los Angeles, the end of 1973, I was in the kitchen downstairs here, in the kitchen across there. And I left Srila Prabhupada as his servant, as his personal servant, got married. I was gone for approximately 7 months. Somehow or other, after 7 months, I was in New Vrindavan. After spending 6 months in Caracas, Venezuela there, and in the temple. Then I went back, came back, wound up in New Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada came back to New Vrindavan. 2 years since I first became his servant at Janmashtami time. So now Prabhupada came back to New Vrindavan, and again he didn't have a servant. Satsrup Maharaj had been his servant for some months. And then he left to go preaching again. So Prabhupada came, and I was in the kitchen, I was cooking, and I gave him some massages. I had a wife there at this time, and she was already a few months pregnant, and we were staying in a little Prabhupada house there in New Vrindavan. And it wasn't, everything had changed for me. Everything was so different than it was when I was there a few years ago. And I just didn't seem to have any enthusiasm to, didn't know what I wanted to do, but I was just there. And Brahmananda was Prabhupada's secretary at this time. So just a day before he left, Prabhupada was leaving. It was just a repeat. It was the day before Prabhupada left again. And Brahmananda came up to me and he said, do you want to be Prabhupada's servant and go to India? Well, for me, this was those two statements and those two facts at the same time. Be Prabhupada's servant was very attractive. Going to India, not so attractive. I only experienced illness in India. So the idea of going to India was very difficult, even to be with Prabhupada. And now, of course, I had a wife. And I thought about it, and I thought, and I said, yes, I'll come. So he said, okay. So that day, we went back in to see Prabhupada. I'm giving him a massage, and Brahmananda said, so Prabhupada, Shruti Kirti, he'll come with us, be your servant. Prabhupada said, okay. That was it. And as I had said, he never once asked me, hey, how were you over the last 6 months? How is your wife doing? Nothing. It was just like those 6 months never existed. I was just his servant, doing my service again. And there was no other consideration. She came to Los Angeles here. Jayatirtha was in charge. He was put in an apartment. So everything was provided for. But Prabhupada dealt with this all in the same way. He didn't see that this was a grihastha to have to handle them in this way. Everything was the same. We just did our service. And from morning till night, we were engaged in service. So then, some more months went by. Almost a year. And this was when this trip went. Prabhupada went in February of 75. So I'd been with Prabhupada now over 8 months. And Prabhupada was preparing to go to India again. And it was going to be for a long time. And I knew that. I wasn't attached in that way to going to India. That was one thing I wasn't attached to. And I had talked with Nanda Kumar, and he liked India. Of course, he was Prabhupada's servant just before me. So he said, I'll go to India, be with Prabhupada. He said, and I'll stay in India. And when Prabhupada goes to the West, you can be his servant. I thought, this is a great idea. Now Krishna's providing everything. You know, we have this arrangement. Of course, we didn't talk to Prabhupada about it. So then Prabhupada, after leaving Bombay for 2 months, Prabhupada went around the world in 2 months' time. So I was with him during that time. So we went to Hawaii, Los Angeles, Mexico City, Caracas, Miami, So now we're in Miami, and it's just like a week before Prabhupada's going to be going back to India. And now Paramahamsa Swami, Paramahamsa was his secretary. Him and I were very good friends. And I told him before this one massage, I said, just before that, we were in Miami. We arrived in Miami, and Prabhupada's bags, and we went into the cottage. At that time, it was Coconut Grove or something, nice place. And Prabhupada stayed in where the president was staying. It was a nice cottage on the quarters. So we walked in, and I had the bags in hand. I put them down, and Prabhupada was right in front of me. And he stopped, and there was a painting on the wall, like this painting right here, Krishna and Arjuna. But in this one, Arjuna's kind of like this, you know. You all know that painting from Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna doesn't look very happy. And Prabhupada's looking at the painting and he goes, I like this painting very much. So now he's preaching to me. But again, I don't know he's preaching to me. He's just talking. He said, I like this painting very much. So I walked right in. I said, why is that, Prabhupada? He said, oh. He said, see. He said, Krishna's telling Arjuna, you have to kill your family, your friends. I want you to kill them all. He said, so Arjuna, he's filled with anxiety. He said, what to speak of leaving your family? He said, if Krishna wants, you have to kill your family members. And I'm just shaking my head. I have no idea he's telling me, because I'm preparing to leave him to be with my family. So he didn't say, you know, he never said, Sruta, you know, you see what's going on here? Because I didn't. I was in so much illusion and so much into my own desires, my attachments. I didn't realize he was telling me. But he's saying, if Krishna wants, he said, you have to kill your family. He said, what to speak of leaving your family? And this is the position I was in. By this time, now I had a son. He was a few months old. And I hadn't even seen him yet, traveling as Prabhupada's servant. Still hadn't seen him, or I had just seen him. So I'm just shaking my head, and Prabhupada kind of went and said the same thing again. He said, this is Krishna consciousness, whatever Krishna wants. If he wants, you have to kill, like Arjuna. He said, Krishna, always smiling. He said, you never see Krishna with that face, you know, like Arjuna had. Krishna is never in anxiety, never depressed, always smiling. This is Krishna. But he wasn't preaching to me, as far as I understood. So then a few more days went by, and I was completely oblivious to Prabhupada's desires, Prabhupada's plan for me. And I'm massaging Prabhupada. And I had told Paramahamsa before the massage, I said, talk to Prabhupada, tell him Nanda Kumar wants to go be his servant. We're getting to the spot where I'll be close to Hawaii. We were going to Dallas, Texas next. That's the closest junction to Hawaii. So Nanda will come and I'll go to Hawaii, be with my family. Everybody will be happy. So now I'm massaging Prabhupada, just rubbing his back. Paramahamsa comes in from the door, offers obeisances, and sits up right in front of me. He said, so Shruta Kirti, he wants to go back with his family now, and Nanda Kumar can come and be his servant. Now, I never imagined this would happen in front of me. I thought it would all, you know, I thought these things would all happen in the background and all, and I didn't have to face my spiritual master with my desires and my attachments. And Prabhupada just shook his head. He said, no, I don't want to do that. Now I'm massaging Prabhupada. And Paramahamsa, as I told you the other day, I always wanted him to do more, but he just stood there and looked. sat there and he's looking at Prabhupada. What should we do, Prabhupada? Now it's my opportunity to say, Prabhupada, I'll stay with you. And nothing comes out of my mouth. And I'm massaging him. Paramahamsa's quiet. And I'm quiet. I miss my opportunity. And then Paramahamsa says, well, should Shrutakirti stay? And Prabhupada said, yeah, that's all right. And that was it. That was the end of my endeavors. And after Prabhupada trying to instruct me what to do, he just had to, still didn't tell me what to do. He just said that, yeah, that was all right. You remain as Prabhupada's servant. But I was attached. I wanted to go be with my wife. I wanted to spend time with my little son, these things. But Prabhupada had a very special mission. Just like now, it's not meant, we're not running out to kill our family members. Krishna's not asking us to dispose of our friends and family in order to become Krishna conscious. And, in the same way, when we were with Srila Prabhupada, he was definitely on a very special mission. It was only a mission that he could fulfill, that he could complete. And Prabhupada asked a lot of his soldiers, of his front line, of everyone who was with him. And he did. He saw everyone as he would tell. You see so many letters. You'll see grihasthas asking Prabhupada about taking sannyas. One of Hansaduta was one in particular, different times. And Prabhupada would always say, you're more than sannyas. He said, the cloth doesn't matter. He said, it's your activities. He said, you're already more than sannyasi. He said, in fact, one letter, he said, you're better than sannyas because you have a wife, but you're living in a detached way, just doing service to the spiritual master. So at that time, in those years, and it was really just a few years, while I was there engaged in it, it seemed like a very long time. That watch, those seconds, they seem to go very slowly. But then when you look back, you realize how quickly everything happened. I left Prabhupada's service after a few years, almost 2.5 years, because I thought I'll have another opportunity to do personal service. I never imagined that everything was happening as quickly as it was, that time was going by so quickly, and that in no time, Srila Prabhupada had gone away. He had left us. But these things go on, in the same way as I gave the class the other day. Still learning about this process of old age and death. But now I start to see a little more how it's right in front of us. Some of you are also seeing, we see almost, it's at least every week now, we're saying prayers. The other day was Pundarik, our godbrother Pundarik. He left his body at the hospice, Bhaktivedanta hospice there in Vrindavan. For that, it was a devotee here. So this is going on all the time now. So it's right in front of us. It's always right in front of us. But now we get a little better idea how important it is to become attached. And that's our process, really. Detachment. There's no question of detachment without attachment. So our business is we have to attach ourselves to this process. We have to become attached to Krishna, to Krishna's service, Krishna's devotees. And in this process, then, it's possible to develop a little bit of a detachment along the way. As I mentioned, I saw that with in serving Amekala, taking care of her over the last year. How material desires, nothing existed. There was a period of time. There was no question of trying to satisfy any material desires. It was just serving Krishna's devotee. So this is how we do it. And with her, at one point, she had taken that, I told you, the chemotherapy treatment. She did one treatment. And after she recovered from that very serious infection and fever. Again, they were saying, well, you have to do it again. You have to, you know, you have to do this. And she was insistent. She was not going to do it. Didn't want it. You know, didn't want it. She was going to try natural process of healing. And the doctors and all in the hospital, they were very, you know, strong-willed. They really were insisting she do it. And finally she said, don't allow them in the room. I don't even want them in the room. Don't let them come in. So then that stopped. And she said, you know why I won't do it? And I'm there now. She said, well, she said, you know, 2 weeks have gone by. She said, I'm just starting to get my mind back. She said, there was a period, she said, I just wanted to commit suicide. She said, I've never had that thought in my mind my entire life. She said, but it was in there. She said, and it was all from these drugs. She said, and sometimes, she said, I didn't even recognize you, who you were. So now that she had gotten her faculties back, she was explaining what was going on. She said how difficult it was. She said, so that was very difficult. She said, because I had difficulty recognizing my own family. She said, but what convinced me, she said, that I wasn't going to do it, was we had like altar in the room in the house, and whenever we went to the hospital, so we had the altar there. Prabhupada was on the altar, and Nitya Gauranga, and a picture of Krishna. And she said, and one of the days, she said, I was looking at the pictures, and I was looking at Krishna. She said, and his face, it started to melt. She said, and then I couldn't see Krishna. She said, and I won't do that. She said, I don't want that. She said, so I'd rather just try my best. Whatever happens, happens. She said, but I can't be in that situation where I cannot even control what's going on in my mind. So that was her attachment. So by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, the devotees, Krishna's kindness is there. He helps his devotees. So I've seen this again and again, as some of us had. So this is our process. We have to become attached to Krishna. We have to become attached to this process, to those helping us in Krishna consciousness. And then detachment can come. So it's getting late. Stop here if there are any questions, comments. Prabhu.
Thousands of devotees who could become a servant, they would say, they would just jump to the opportunity. But somehow or other, I was just thinking that it's difficult to understand what Prabhupada has in mind. Like, you know, I was daring to attend. Why Prabhupada didn't do that? And then, is there any spiritual attachment also from part of the spiritual master to a particular devotee to serve him in that way? And then I was daring to attend, maybe because he knew that in the future you will come and with love and affection chant his glories and distribute all this. And he wanted you there because, you know, like that's my only understanding like that. Anyone could have done that immediately. But no, he moved his head saying he'll stay. Mm-hmm. Can you comment something?
Yeah, well, even the same thing when I did leave him at the end, and in Hawaii, Prabhupada again was in Hawaii. It was June, and so we went back to Hawaii after traveling to India. And so now again, I was with my wife was there, my child was there, and I had been with Prabhupada almost 2.5 years, and I just had completely lost my focus. You know? And there's so many stories meet with Prabhupada at different times when I wasn't going to go with him, but I always did. But this time, I went in, I had to do it myself, and I went into Prabhupada's room, and I said, yeah, I was never very straightforward. And I said, Prabhupada, I want to stay here. I said, Paramahamsa and I have some plan. We were going to go travel and preach. So I thought this was my, you know, this would be like my ace, you know, to tell Prabhupada I wanted to preach. You know. And so I said, I want to leave as your servant and go preach. And Prabhupada, he just looked at me and he said, my preaching's not good enough. So, Prabhupada didn't like, he just like, you know, he would just say one little thing that just, you know, that was it. That was the end of that. Like, you know, he just smashed me, you know, and he knew I was a big nonsense, you know, and he knew I wasn't being honest. And so, what could I say? And then, so then I just said, well, I just want to stay here with my family, blah, 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 like that. I just kind of, in a short, ashamed and embarrassed and knowing that it wasn't what he wanted. And then he looked at me again, you know, and he said, I don't like to change my servants. So that was also part of it. You know, that was a inconvenience for every time there was a change, it created, you know, different difficulties and problems. And, you know, so that was my, you know, that was my foolishness again, you know. And I, well, it was at that time that Prabhupada, he left, and then eventually some months later, Harisari came as his servant, so that was very good, you know. But, you know, Prabhupada had so many things he was doing, and his servant, as he said, you know, first-class servant, he said, does things without being asked. So, you know, over time, and Nanda Kumar was expert, Upendra was expert, Sudama, he was his servant, they were all very expert. You know, the point was to make everything, Prabhupada concentrated on what he needed to do and not be telling you, run around, where is this, where is that, you know, why is the, no hot water in my bucket for bathing, or, you know, what he was eating, what he liked, not to put too much food on the old simple little things. But they were the business of taking care of Prabhupada. Okay. It's Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.